This Sunday, the 4th of Lent, is called in the church Laetare Sunday, and Laetare means rejoice. On this Sunday, halfway through the great fast of Lent, the church changes her penitential purple for this rose, which is touched with joy. And she stretches out her eyes forward a few weeks to see the coming feast of our salvation at Easter, and already begins to rejoice and bids her children to rejoice too. How is this joy possible to us? How is it that we can look forward through these weeks of Lent to the coming joy of Easter? How is it that we can look forward through the long suffering of this life, through this veil of tears, to catch a glimpse of that joy which was before the world was made and which will never pass away? How can we strain our eyes through the night of this world, past the horizon, to glimpse the sunrise? The answer I submit to you this morning is grace. Grace is at work in us, in our lives. Already, even now, as we walk through this world, grace is alive among us. And grace is the cause of our joy. The gospel story that we heard this morning is the second in a series of three. Three stories of three encounters between various people and Jesus Christ the Lord, encounters which changed them forever. Last week we heard about the Samaritan woman who came thirsting at the heat of the day to a well looking for water, and she found there the fountain of eternal life who could quench her thirst. Next week we will hear the story of Lazarus, who was dead and lying in his tomb, until he heard the voice of the one who is the resurrection and the life and woke again to life and light. Today, we hear the story of a man born blind who encountered the light of the world and was able to see. Life, light, living water. Three signs of the effects of grace within our hearts and our lives. The story today presents the grace of God to us as light, and it begins with Jesus passing by this blind man. It's an interesting detail. The story adds that he was born blind. Not only can he not see, but he has never been able to see. His eyes have never looked out on the morning of the world. He has never seen the flowers in bloom or the glory of the sunrise, never had the opportunity to behold his mother's face. From childhood, his eyes have been shrouded in shadow. And so they would have remained, but a light was shining in the darkness. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God from God and light from light, true God from true God and the light of the world, spit on the ground and made clay and anointed his eyes and sent him to wash. And in the pools of the water, in the waters of the pool of Siloam, this man, he found his sight. And then something far more remarkable happened. For Jesus, after restoring the sight of his eyes and the light of the world, goes on to lead him to the sight of the soul and a supernatural light which is beyond the world. He begins to lead this man to faith. No sooner has the miracle happened in the story than a controversy erupts. Who is this man who opened the eyes of the blind? And we see it slowly dawning on the one who has been healed, the magnitude of the salvation that is knocking at his door. It's the man called Jesus, he says, and then later, a prophet, Then he says, "This is what is so remarkable, that you do not know where he is from. And yet he opened my eyes." And then finally, when Jesus asks him the decisive question, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" he answers with greatness and with faith, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And at that point, this man could truly see. Jesus worked this miracle in order to instruct us that his grace is a light. And like light, it lights up our world. And like light, it chases away the shadows. Those would be the two points that I'd like to explore this morning. First of all, the grace of God lights up our path. The fathers of the church saw in this man born blind a fitting symbol of fallen humanity, for all of us, in a way, are born blind. All of us come into this world not knowing truths that are of the utmost importance if we are to guide our lives aright. Truths about who God is and who we are and where is the path that leads to him. Truths that we have to learn. But though we come into this world blind, we also come into it inquisitive. Even from a very early age, we start to form questions. My nephews and nieces are at that age now. Why? What is it? What is it for? Where does it come from? What do you do with it? Why? There's a sense of wonder and a holy hunger for the truth. That desire, it can be stifled. You can say to the child, "Stop asking why. It doesn't matter. It's none of your business. Keep your eyes on the road. Get your head out of the clouds." But if it isn't stifled, then that wonder grows, and the questions with it. And eventually, we begin to ask the deep questions. What is all of it? Where is it all from? What is it all for? What am I for? And that quest and those questions can only find their answers in God. And though we can seek that answer on our own, the deepest truth and the deepest reality about God and man, we can only know by faith, can only know because God tells us. "In him was life," says St. John, "and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness." Jesus has come to shine a light, to teach us a great secret, a mystery, hidden in God from before the foundations of the world. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. He has come to tell us the secret of the life of the Holy Trinity, of God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the possessor of a secret life that we cannot imagine. And beyond that, he's come to tell us that God has called us to share in that life, to become his adopted children, to be raised up far above our nature, to look upon the very face of God. And in that light, we see everything. He has told us why we have been made and what we are for. And without that light, we're unable to see. Life is a journey, and without faith, we do not know where the journey is headed or where to find the road. But with faith, we can see. That's the first effect of grace. It lights up our world. But not only does it light up our world, it chases away the shadows. In the controversy that erupts in the gospel story about who Jesus is, we see the man born blind slowly, paradoxically, moving toward sight. And we see those who should have been able to see, on the other hand, moving further and further toward blindness. It is possible to have the light and not to live by it. That happens sometimes, I suppose, by a deliberate choice, an obstinate decision not to live our life in view of faith, but that is perhaps more rare. I think that what is perhaps far more common is that we simply get distracted, and we believe in the holy truths of faith, but we fail to live by them day by day. And other lights, power, and money, and pleasure, and prestige, and the things of the world, even the good things of the world, they cloud our vision, and they make it dim. But if we lived by faith profoundly, if we not only believed but made each decision, saw each event in the light of faith, it would open up to us another world. We see God sometimes as a distant monarch who doesn't care about us. We fail to see him as faith presents him to us, as a loving father who gave his only son. Sometimes we look at the people around us, our brothers and sisters and neighbors, and we see only an obstacle or a source of annoyance. We fail to look with eyes of faith, to see a soul for whom Christ died, a possible co-heir with us to a glory that we cannot now imagine. We see the temptations and the struggles and the setbacks of this world, and sometimes we fail to look with eyes of faith, fail to see in every suffering the cross of Jesus Christ, the possibility of learning in the midst of suffering to love as he loved, and by our love to transform the world. We have the light of faith, but sometimes we let our eyes grow dim. But the just man, says St. Paul, will live by faith. How do we do that? Well, the answer, first of all, is grace. It is the grace of God which chases away the shadows and strengthens our weak eyes. And one place where the grace of God is particularly operative in that regard is in prayer. For prayer is an exercise in opening our eyes. Prayer is an exercise in stretching out our minds to the things of God, to eternal realities. It is a training in looking at everything in their holy light. And with the grace of God and with prayer, it is possible that the shadows be chased away, that each day, more and more clearly, we open our eyes and see. Faith, then, is a light. To accept that light, to let it grow in us, to let it become brighter and brighter, and to follow where it leads, past all the shadows of this world, to the very throne of grace and the vision of the face of God. To follow that light is the most exciting of all adventures. And yet, sometimes, we balk. We hold back. We think, perhaps, that our eyes have been long accustomed to the twilight. We think that the light, perhaps, will be too bright, that it will cause pain to our eyes, that it will make us dizzy. We think, perhaps, that the vision of faith will be too disorienting to live by day. And there's some truth in that, for the illumination and the transformation that Jesus Christ wants to work inside us is profound indeed. It is like a blind man learning to see. It is like someone who's asleep waking up. It is like a dead man rising again. And we are too weak in ourselves to live by faith. But then our hope shouldn't be placed in ourselves. In our second reading today, the Apostle St. Paul addresses himself to those who long have walked in shadows. Wake up, O sleeper. Arise from the dead. And Christ, he will give you light. My brothers and sisters, there is no one else who can.